morning. I hope you do. Turn to the book of Esther. The book of Esther. Read a psalm this morning. Just talk about, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not His benefits. You know, well, there's a reason to give God praise. And it's not just so we can exercise ourselves and being able to say hallelujah. We've got a God that's worthy of praise. So, but if you'll turn to the book of Esther this morning. And, there are a lot of young ladies in here. And they have, how many of you young ladies have heard messages on David killing Goliath? Would you raise your hand? You heard a message on that? How many of you ever heard a message about Daniel in the lion's den? Would you raise your hand? Okay, all right. All right. How many of you ever heard a message about Peter walking on the water? You ever heard a message on that? Right, right. And, you know, a lot of times what we do is we preach a message and there's a man that is being used as the point of illustration. And then what you have to do as a young lady, you have to somehow take and adapt that to yourself, okay? Because, you know, men and women are distinct and different, so you still have to make that application. Well, today, how many of you men, you young men, have heard a message on Esther? Would you raise your hand? Well, good. Good. Now you get to do what they do on a regular basis. Right? You're going to have to take and apply a message about a young woman to yourself. All right? I'm not going to make that application for you. Most of the time when you hear a message about David, you know, the guy doesn't say, okay, now you ladies, this is the way you should apply it to your life. All right? But you're going to have to do that. Esther chapter 4, I'm going to read a verse. And just to give you a little background, all right? Esther is brought into Ahasuerus' kingdom, and his kingdom is large and expansive over the earth. And while she is there, there's a man by the name of Haman who becomes incensed against the Jews. He hates the Jews because of Mordecai. Mordecai wouldn't bow down to his, wouldn't bow to him, wouldn't. And consequently, Haman decided, I'm going to get rid of these people. So he writes a decree. And he has the king to sign it and to seal it with his ring. All right. That on a certain day, all the Jews in every province, all right, every province, every nation that Ahasuerus kingdom contained, on a certain day, they would all be killed. All of them. Children, women, old people, young people, didn't really matter. On that day, they're going to be wiped out. All right. That was his plan. And Esther is finally given news of this plan by her uncle Mordecai. And Mordecai, he sends her news of that. And doing so, if you look at it, verse number 12, and they told Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to this king or to the kingdom for such a time as this? What he does, he tells Esther, listen, Esther, hiding in the palace, you're not going to be safe there. You're going to be destroyed just like the rest of us. But God is going to raise, and he uses a phrase there. It's hard for me sometimes to get my mind around it, that God shall, there shall enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. Almost sounds like that if she doesn't do her job, somebody else will. I'm not certain that that's always the case in the Bible. I would be afraid to make that a doctrine. If God has called you to be a missionary to a country and you don't go, I know somebody would tell you, well, God will send somebody else. I don't know that you can necessarily prove that from the Scripture. All right. Jonah was the only person that God was going to send to Nineveh. And he didn't go. And God didn't send a replacement. He just put Jonah into whale college for a little while. And then he told Jonah to go to the, gave him the same words, arise, go to Nineveh. All right. Now, what I'm saying is, we like to think that. I'd like to think that, okay, if I don't do my job, God will send somebody else to get that job done. All right. Whether it's in Rochester or Hamlin or Gates or wherever it is, the region of influence that I have, that if I don't do my job, somebody else will feel that responsibility. Now, that seems to be indicated here. I don't know, though, that I would build a doctrine on that, because this is speaking of God's people. And they are a promised people. There is a promise that God gave to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 that is very unusual. And saying that, I don't know it, but I do know this. Mordecai is telling her, if you'll underline that little phrase, for such a time as this, for this moment. He's saying, Esther, God brought you into this palace for this moment. And really, I think the whole book of Esther, the book of Esther is about a young woman who lives her life and God brings her to a moment that she can exercise her influence, and then he spares an entire nation of people because she was ready to do her job. Now, I don't know if you know what you're supposed to do with your life. How many of you think you know what you're supposed to do with your life? Would you raise your hand? I'm talking to young people right now. The adults should already know this, all right? But all right, you young people, how many of you think you know what God wants you to do with your life? Hold your hand up high. Wow. Let's try it this way. How many of you young people have no idea what you're supposed to do with your life? Would you raise your hand? Okay. How many of you think that I'm speaking French right now and did not understand the question? Because either you know what you're going to do with your life or you don't know what you're going to do with your life. Well, I think that Esther makes the moment that God made her for. There's a comparison in the New Testament. Jesus Christ uses this term, mine hour is not yet come. He tells Mary that in John chapter 2, several times throughout the book of John, John chapter 13, John chapter 12. He passes through their hands because his hour was not yet come. And then he says, now mine hour is come. And that hour was to go to the cross of Calvary. He had a moment and a place that he was supposed to do something. And he accomplished it. But I think along the way, if you're not careful, you'll lose the ability to do what God made you to do. Now, you're going to have to think with me a little bit this morning. All right. I don't want you sitting on pins and needles. I don't want my children sitting on pins and needles trying to figure out what they're to do with their life. All right. I think that there's some very simple things. God's told all children, and some of you may not feel like you're a child this morning, but I'd say this, if you're 20 and under, you know, I'd say you're a child according to the Bible. And, you know, the Bible is very clear. It tells children they have one major thing they're supposed to do. Can somebody raise your hand and tell me what that is? Anybody raise your hand and tell me? What's a child supposed to do? All right. What's a child supposed to do? All right, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is. Well, that was really weak. That's what God wrote to you. He wrote you a verse for you, children. Okay, what, God? I want to hear your voice. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's not hard. Pretty plain. Honor thy father and mother. That is exactly right. But there is something God made you for. And I really believe that God has something particularly unique for you to do. I don't know what it is. I'm not even saying it's great. I'm not saying it's like Esther. All right, that you're going to be used to deliver an entire people. I don't know. But God has something unusual for you to do. Some of you young ladies right here, can you name me Moses' mother? What was Moses' mother's name? You know her name? Jochebed. That's right, Jochebed. Pretty hard to remember her name. You know what she did? She raised a son that would deliver an entire nation. She didn't. She didn't deliver a nation. But she did something. She had a particular thing. God chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus Christ. And listen, what I'm saying is that I don't know what God has for you. And I don't know if you even feel like I don't have any ability. You know, I don't want to do anything. You know, I just want to stay at home and be with mom and dad. And that's all I want to do all my life. Well, I don't have a problem with that. But at some point, you know, there's something God made you to do. Every one of those stars that are up above us up there in the sky, every one of them at night, they're placed there. They didn't just happen. They're not just an afterthought. No, okay, you hear people say, God flung the stars out. I think he put them exactly where he wanted them. Not only did he put them where he wanted them. Look, you can look at the constellations. The constellations are there. I think he did that on purpose. But the Bible says that he telleth them all by their names. God named every one of those stars, the little bitty ones, the big ones. I mean, he named them. They're there for a purpose. And so are you. You have a purpose. And all I'm saying this morning, You know, there is a purpose for you. There's a moment for you out there. But you know, the devil, he doesn't know what your purpose is. He has no idea why God made you. But I do know this. The devil works in the moment. And if he can stop you from being what you're supposed to be now, he can keep you from getting to whatever God planned for your life. Do you understand that? In other words, it's not about, I don't want you to leave this morning sitting here saying, what am I supposed to do with my life? I don't want to miss it. Look, if you're 14 years old, you shouldn't go out of here saying, what am I supposed to do with my life? Where am I supposed to live? What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to be a missionary? Am I supposed to be a preacher? Well, if you're a woman, you're not supposed to be a preacher. What am I supposed to do with my life? Who am I supposed to marry? Look, if the devil can stop you before you get to that moment, that's all he cares about. If he can get you now. So really, your life now is important. The way you are living now is going to affect your ability to do what God wants to do with you in the future. That's the story of Esther. In my opinion, we're introduced to Ahasuerus and his kingdom and his wife Vashti. Vashti is deposed, and then we find a search going on for a woman to replace her. Esther is brought in, and then we're told, then after that, how Esther becomes a tool to deliver a nation. All right, and all I'm saying is there's a couple of things that are important about her life that you can deal with right now. You can't worry about, okay, am I supposed to be on a particular island somewhere in the Caribbean? What you can do is to live what you're supposed to do right this moment. There's two things that I want to mention to you about Esther, and I think I'm just going to preach on the floor down here. I think that's where God wants me to preach. All right. Maybe we'll use these, maybe we won't. All right. First thing I want you to notice about Esther is this. Let's read a little bit. Esther chapter 2 now. Look at Esther chapter 2. Are you looking? Got your Bible open? Looking at Esther. Now, you guys, all right, look, I already told you. They've heard enough preaching about Daniel and David. You're going to have to make the application to a woman today, all right? I'm not doing it for you. Okay? I'm preaching about a woman. And that does not mean you can say, well, I'm not listening. Shame on you, you rebel. Esther 2. Verse number 1, after these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king. And let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, under the custody of Hege, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them. And let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. All right. Number one. If you want to make the moment that God has created you for, if you want to be what God has made you to be, if you want to accomplish that, all right, first thing you need to do is you need to keep yourself pure. Just write that down. Keep yourself pure. Now, I'm going to point it out to you again. The Bible says there in verse number 7, look how she's described. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and, can you say the word for me? Let's try it one more time. And the maid was fair and what? I try it one more time. You girls got to join in. And the maid was fair and she was beautiful. All right. That's a description that God gives her in the Bible. Okay. Fair and beautiful are two different things. Fair is someone that is pleasant to be around. All right. They're enjoyable to be around. They're fair. Beautiful. We already know what beautiful is. That's very attractive. I mean, that's somebody that really looks good. And honestly, when the Bible says she was beautiful, she was beautiful. I don't think that was something imaginary. I don't think that was something, well, you know, they say, well, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You know, that something that maybe is not so beautiful really is beautiful because somebody looks at it and says, well, that's beautiful. You know, that's true maybe about most of us, but that wasn't true about Esther. If Esther walked in that door right there and came and sat down, people would say, wow, she was beautiful. Yeah. Some of you girls are not really cooperating with me this morning. You know, you're thinking, yeah, son, who says she's beautiful? I mean, that's just, And you know what the guys are doing right now? I wish there's one of those around here. Yeah, God, send one in that door right there. Right? She's beautiful. She's beautiful. All right, and there's something important to understand about that. She's also, in verse number 6, she's in captivity. Right? She is in a place that is not her choosing. She's in captivity. All right? She is in a foreign country, and she is a slave. She is there against her will, but she's beautiful, and she's in this foreign place, and she's treated no better than a slave. That's what the Jews were. They were an enslaved people. They were under an occupation. All right, but she's beautiful. Now, you know, there's a couple of things that are important to note. The Bible says in verse number 2 that they were looking for a fair young virgin to be the next queen. In verse number 3, it's mentioned again, gather together all the fair young virgins. So I've got a question for you. If she doesn't keep herself pure, if Esther doesn't keep herself pure, answer me this, does she make it to the palace? Now come on, does she make it to the palace? If Esther is not a virgin, does she make it to the palace? Does it matter how that took place? Doesn't matter. If she's not a virgin, she doesn't make it to the palace. Now, here's something that's true about that statement, all right? She had to keep herself pure. Now, you know, right now, your mother and dad are trying to help you do that, okay? They're trying to help you do that by the people they let you get around. They're trying to do that by the way they allow you to dress. They're trying to do that by the way they monitor your devices if you have them, all right? They're trying to be a wall between you and the world that would take that purity away from you. But, you know, the bottom line is, at some point in your life, you're going to have to make that decision. You're going to have to decide to keep yourself pure. And I believe it's 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. The Bible says, keep thyself pure. You have to make that decision. You have to come to the conclusion that God did not intend for someone not to be pure until they get married. You get married, that's all right. Now, I know none of you are thinking about marriage this morning. Right. You have to keep yourself pure. And she was a virgin. Now, you know what she could have done? Here's what she could have done. She could have done this. She's in a foreign country. So what she could have done, and you girls, I know you'll get this, the guys, they don't get it. But, you know, she could have made herself attractive, and she could have used her beauty to climb up the ladder to maybe have people give her favors. She could have done that. Now, some of you younger girls, maybe that's not resonating with you, but I'm watching the ladies, they're nodding their head. Some of these younger girls, you know that to be true. She could use her beauty if she so chose to do so. She could use that. She could lose her morality and she could have gained something. Maybe she could have moved to a nicer house. Maybe she could have been given favors. Maybe she could have gotten out of that place where all the Jews lived in captivity. Maybe she could have said, you know, look, I'm tired of being talked to like this. I want to be moved into a place. And she could have used her beauty to do that. She could have climbed the ladder with her beauty. But if she did that, would she make the palace? And if she didn't make the palace, would she ever fulfill the reason she was put on this earth? Wouldn't make it. You got to keep yourself pure. You have to decide to do that. You young ladies, look, there is no way your parents can be with you 24/7. There is no way. But you know what you got to make up your mind? You got to make up your mind. You're going to keep yourself pure regardless until you put a ring on your finger. All right, and I know that's been preached here before, but look, if a guy will not be willing to commit to put a ring on your finger, then you don't need to commit to him anything. And what I mean by that is this. There should never be an exchange between you and another individual until there's a commitment that's been made, because this is a lifelong commitment. Yeah, but I love you. Well, he's a liar. Come on, how do you girls know that boys are liars? Do you understand that? You have the prettiest eyes I have ever seen. You know, I think with eyes like that, has anybody ever talked to you about modeling? I mean, have you ever been approached like, well, they're just my eyes. He's lying to you. He'd say anything to you. Wow, your hair. You spend, what, 5-6 hours on that a day? Oh, no, I just put a clip in it today. Oh, you've got the most beautiful hair I've ever seen in my life. Until another one goes by. Well, oh, there goes another one right there. They'll lie to you. Eve was lied to. And she believed the lie. And she also paid the consequence. All right? Don't believe the lie. We're going to have a house here. We're going to do this. We're going to do this in life. You ought to exchange with me. You know what y'all say? That's all great. I hope we have that one day, but none of that's going to take place until we get married and there's a commitment made. Are you going to miss your moment? Now, so she could have done that. She could have done this. She could have taken and she could have dressed in such a manner that probably somebody might have seen her as a slave and taken and abused her, could have forced her to do something against her own will. Personally, I think probably somebody like Esther, she is there. Look, she walks in the street and people look at her and they say, wow, I don't know if it was her eyes. I don't know if it was her hair. I don't know if it was her complexion. It may have been everything. When she walked by, people just said, wow, she probably went out, and I'm not really on hoodies and all that stuff like that, and I know your generation likes hoodies, and I'm not trying to necessarily make fun of that, but I think probably Esther walked around with a hoodie. Kept her head down. If she's old enough to get in the palace, there's men out there on the construction site. They see her. Cat calls, people saying all kinds of things like that. And listen, you young ladies, it does make a difference how you dress yourself. What difference does it make if it's a little shorter, if the slit's there? Listen, if Esther had not dressed appropriately and a man in that kingdom had taken her and done something, forced her against her will and she was not a virgin, does she make the palace? Come on, does she make the palace? She misses that. She misses the palace because they're looking for fair, young virgins. Now, I've been talking now a little bit to the ladies. Look, it's just as important for you guys to stay pure. You ought to stay pure. Look, God's plan is for a young man and a young woman to be pure. When they say, I do, then God gives them to each other. That's God's plan. All right? You say, well, I don't have to worry about that. I won't miss my moment. Listen, there are things that happen in your mind and in your soul that can be marked and can be marred, and they will live with you the rest of your days. And you don't need to enter into that. You need to keep yourself pure. She kept herself pure. All right, so what you've got to do is right now, you know what you need to do? You need to keep yourself pure. That means what you watch. You shouldn't be watching filth on the TV. And you say, we don't have a TV. Then don't watch it on your phone. You say, well, we don't have a phone. Then don't watch it on your friend's iPad. You say, well, my friend doesn't have an iPad. Well, then don't watch it at work. You say, well, I don't have a job. Well, good. Then you have a lot of walls up for you right now. But don't give it to your mind. Keep yourself pure. Because if she's not a virgin, she doesn't make it to the palace. And I'm telling you, you would think somebody would say, what is the big deal? That's what society says. So what? What's the big deal? What's the big deal? Does it matter? It does matter. It does matter. It matters on whether or not you keep yourself pure if you make the moment that God wants to bring you to. Well, second thing. The Bible says there in Esther chapter 2, again, look at it. It says this, she was fair and beautiful. When I read that, she was fair and beautiful. And she was beautiful, but she had a reason if she wanted to be very bitter. I preached about that last night. All right? So here's the second thing. Number one, keep yourself pure. Number two, keep a good attitude. Keep a good attitude. You're the only person that gets to decide your attitude. Have you ever heard somebody say they woke up on the wrong side of the bed?
Yeah.
Come on. Which side is that? Is that the left side? Is that the right side? Is that the bottom? I mean, how many of you travel when you sleep? I travel when I sleep. I wake up in a different place. I'm over here, then I wake up over there. You know, I don't know how that happens in the middle of the night. I didn't move, but I'm moved. I'm some other place. What they're saying is, well, it's the bed's fault that I got this attitude. If you don't have the right kind of attitude, she's not making it to the palace. Your attitude makes a difference. You know, some of you around here, it's a blessing. I have come here now about 8 years. And some of you guys, you have such a good attitude. I've been coming long enough that I remember some that had a rebellious attitude. Does anybody know what a rebel looks like? Could you raise your hand if you think you know what a rebel looks like? The adults are the only ones. Come on. Who thinks you know what a rebel looks like? All right. A rebel has an attitude. How many of you think you know what pride looks like? You think you know what pride? The Bible says pride's an issue of the heart. A proud look. How many of you think you know what meanness looks like? There's some people that are just mean. There's some people that are sour. Look, there's some people in this life, for different reasons, they are just sour. I'm going to tell you right now, Esther doesn't make it to the palace if she's not fair and doesn't keep a right attitude. And I'll tell you why. Vashti just got kicked out. Look, the king said, Vashti, and everybody, I'm not going to try to make it anything. It's not. He said, Vashti, I want to come on everybody to see your beauty. All right, that doesn't necessarily mean that was a, I'm not going to fight with you about that, that he was doing something immoral. Look, whatever. She said, I'm not coming. And he said, okay. And the men said, you can't let her do that. And he said, all right, what are we going to do? He said, kick her out. So, now, how do you think she said, I'm not coming? You think she said it like this? Ahasuerus, I'm really busy right now. I've got all these ladies over here and... yeah, I would love to come and accommodate you today, but I can't do that. I need to take care of them. So if it's okay with you, I'm just not going to come. You think she did that?
No.
You know what I think she did? I ain't coming. I think she let him know in no uncertain terms, hey, pal, nuclear war will happen before I walk in there. I'm not coming. Now, you know what he's saying now? Okay, out she goes. So now we're looking for somebody else to come in and take her place. So he brings in a diva that knows she's beautiful. Come on. I'm going to ask you ladies. You ladies help me. Listen, are there some people that are just naturally God-given, beautiful people? And I'm not talking about, I'm talking about they are beautiful people and they have a good attitude about it. But there's also some that act like they made themselves that way, right? Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. They get an attitude. I'm telling you, she knew. Look, we can pretend like she didn't. I think she knew she was beautiful. I think people told her that. Oh, Esther. You look really nice today. Thank you. Some of us get that maybe once in a month, maybe once in a year. She got it all the time. I think she came out of the. You know, most of us are so messed up when we wake up in the morning, right? All right? I mean, look. You got to put it back together, right? That's true. You got to put it back together. I don't think she's that way. I think she wakes up in the morning, she does whatever, clips this, turns around, walks out, and somebody says, how did she do that? She knew it. Now, you can tell me, I had a lady come to me after I preached this. She said, I don't think she knew it. I thought, well, that's your opinion, but I think she knew it. She knew it. You know what she didn't do? She didn't get an attitude about that. You know, there's somebody here. You're smart. I don't know who you are. You are smart. Maybe you've already taken the SAT. Maybe you took the SAT in the eighth grade and you maxed it out. And you've already got letters from Stanford and every other place. They're begging you to come. I mean, you are an Albert Einstein if somebody would just give you the moment, you would take and you would take EMC squared beyond where it's already been. But if you're smart, do you know God made you that way? Oh, no. I got this way by meditation. No. And if you're attractive, God made you that way. So quit walking around like it's something you created. These guys, I'm not against guys. Look at the guns on this guy right here, man. Good night. I said 40-inch bicep last night. You know, and some guys, man, they said, well, that's small. And some of us said, well, that's a dream. You ever see somebody that's really muscular? Look, if God made her beautiful, I think she recognized that. Because if she walks in like a diva, nobody is going to put her in the palace. You can't take, and if you make yourself up, most of us have to. We have to do things to help ourselves. So you spend time doing that. And then you get to that point, and then you try to pretend like that you're something better than somebody else. Or you let that go to your mind, or somebody says, well, you look really good today. You know what? Praise the Lord. You know, thank you. Praise the Lord. I'm glad. And all I'm saying is this. Listen, if she has an attitude, she didn't make it into that palace. Come on, would you agree with me? If she has an attitude, I'm telling you right now, if she walks in and said, I'm here. What's your name? Everybody knows my name. I'm sorry, I don't see it on the list. What's your name again? My name is Esther. And I am better looking than every woman in this room. And you know it. Check that one off. You got to keep the right kind of attitude. But not only that, she was fair and beautiful. Look, and I mentioned it last night, and I don't want to belabor it this morning. Would you go back up to verse number 6? She's got a good attitude because of the beauty God gave her. She knows came from Him. I believe that's true. But secondly, it says she had been carried away with Jerusalem, from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah. And then verse 7, the Bible says that she is brought up, that he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. This woman could have been. She could have been bitter. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. She's captive. She's removed from the city she lived in, Jerusalem, and she's taken and she's placed in another culture with people that aren't like her. She's removed from her home, from her friends. And then look what else it says. She had neither father nor mother. You see that? Come on, you guys, stop and think about this for a minute. How many of you have both parents living right now in the same house with you? Would you raise your hand? Okay, thank you. Put them down. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but you know there's some people that only have one living parent. That's hard. The mother that used to care for them, the mother that used to be there for them, pray with them, talk to them, gone. Maybe in a moment, maybe in an accident. But she has neither father nor mother. That's really unusual. To have both parents gone, you know, that almost says there's some kind of tragedy. And I'm reading in here. I could be wrong. If they were taken captive, what's the possibilities that maybe her mother and dad were killed when they were conquered? What's the possibilities that the people in the country in which she's living right then at that moment are responsible for the death of her mother and dad? Come on, how many of you think that would be easy to get bitter about that? I hate these people. I hate this country. I hate everything about them. I hate everything. They killed my parents. And Mordecai tries to raise her up and he says, you know what, Hadassah, Esther, you can't have that opinion. God's been good to you. He's given you your life. And look, I'm here. I know I'm not your mom and dad. And, you know, as they work through that thing, however that happened, she could have been a very bitter young woman. I told you last night three things that bring bitterness: loss, hurt, and a denial of something you desire. I think she has all three of those. She wants to be home. She wants her mom and dad. They're taken away from her. She's lost something. She's hurt. Listen, all I'm saying, and she could have gotten bitter. And listen, if she's bitter, does she make the palace? Come on. If she's bitter, does she make the palace? Can you imagine walking in and before the king and he says, hello, in your name? Esther. Okay, Esther. Can I ask you a few questions? Sure. Underneath, if he sensed there's this boiling bitterness, there's this woman that is beautiful beyond belief, but there's a bitterness there. You know what he's going to say? Thank you for your time. And then you know what Esther misses? She misses her moment. You know, I'm going to tell you, the best way to make sure you never get bitter is just remember all the blessings that you already have. And then if it ever comes in, God's grace is more than sufficient. Some of you may have had all kind of things happen in your life. Even now, look, a lot of times we only look at bitterness as what happens between two adults that can't get along. That's not true. Things can happen to you when you're 6, when you're 7, when you're 8. And nobody else knows about them, and you're not going to tell anybody else about them. But they can leave deep scars, deep marks. Yeah, I hope it never happened. Maybe Dad one day, maybe he got upset at you and lost his temper. And man, he hit you so hard. Maybe that happened. Maybe somebody did something to you they should have never done. And you let that stew in your heart. And all of a sudden you become bitter in your heart. You're going to miss the moment God made you for. And the devil wants to keep you off that. He'll do anything in a moment to mess you up. He'll mess you up in a moment with pleasure. He'll mess you up in a moment with immorality. He'll mess you up in a moment with bitterness. He'll do anything he can in that moment. I used to believe that the devil had a long-range plan. I believe with all my heart, young people, I believe with all my heart, the devil works in this moment. In this moment, whether it's a new friend, whatever it is, something to open the door, something to get you to step through it. And so he can take that moment and then he can begin to turn you and to mark you. So he doesn't know what your moment is in life, but he just knows if I can mess them up here, they'll never get to there. But I'm telling you, listen, I'm looking at a bunch of young people today. If you'll keep a good attitude, how many of you think you know how to keep a good attitude? How many of you quit listening to me about 10 minutes ago? How many of you think you know how to keep a good attitude? Okay, let me ask this. How many of you think you know what a good attitude is? All right, a good attitude is not somebody on Prozac that does like this. That's somebody's own medicine. Everything's good. Life is lovely. That's scary. People like that scare me. A good attitude is just a pleasant attitude. And you know, one of the ways you can have a pleasant attitude is quit thinking about what you don't have and just appreciate all the things you do have. I got 3 sisters in my... I tell you, if you had 3 sisters in your bedroom and they were always in there and threw their stuff all over the floor and you couldn't get anywhere and they're always borrowing your clothes and all that, you wouldn't appreciate it either. Well, if you slept on the floor, you wouldn't appreciate it. How about if you slept on a dirt floor? You know, they sleep in an African hut. I'm glad I don't sleep in a hut. You get to choose your attitude. Come on, you get to choose your attitude. All right, let's try this. All right, this section right here, you're the happy people. Are you ready? Let's be happy. Ready? Can you be happy? See, some of you, I'll preach at you. Be happy. I'm trying. Okay, all right, now let's watch them. You are the sad people. All right, go ahead, just be sad. Come on, some, be sad. Can't be sad? Okay, all right. You are the mad people. Can you get mad for just a minute? Come on, you can get mad. Come on, you can't be mad with a smile. This doesn't work. That's pretty good. All right, now be the happy people. Come on, be the happy people. Do you see their heads go up? You be the mad people. You be the sad people. Can you be sad? Can you be sad? Can you be sad? So what are you doing? I'm telling you, you can control your attitude. No, I can't. He made me this way. Listen, you determine your attitude and you can determine your purity. Keep yourself pure. And keep the right attitude today. Oh, but again, yesterday was hard. Yesterday's gone. Keep the right attitude today. Keep yourself pure today. And then tomorrow, we live tomorrow, and we keep the right attitude tomorrow, and we keep ourselves pure tomorrow. And we do that until one day somebody says, hey, interview at the palace, we'd like you to come. And they say, really? Sure. I'd like to come. And you get in the palace, and who knows what you might get to do. How many of you would like to live in a palace? Only 2 people. I hope you live in a shack. I don't live in a palace. Live in a shack. What could you do in a palace? What could you do for God if you made the moment He made you for? Do you understand?
Yes.
You got a moment. You need to make that moment. And a lot of your friends have left this church. If they're not careful, they're going to miss what they were made for. You don't have to be one of those. Make your moment by doing what you ought to do today. Thank you, Lord, for the time we've had with these young people, Lord. And